You're listening to The Erin Carrera Show. And now your host, Erin Carrera.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. I'm so happy to be here with you on this, the solstice. It's happening this evening. So if you're listening live, it is Thursday, December 21st, 2023, 10:01 a.m. I'm coming at you from the Pacific Coast. I'm here in my little studio, in my little house, in my not so little city of Los Angeles. And it is gray and gloomy and raining, and I love it. It makes me so happy because it matches my mood today. I know I have a sunny disposition, and that even when I'm like, oh boy, y'all, I'm going to cry probably seven times during this show, even when I say that, I sound happy about it. And it's because of many years of practice of being inclusive of all my feelings. So I'm so happy you're all here with me today. We're going to be talking about the solstice. We're going to be wrapping up 2023, talking a little bit about dreaming into 2024. I want to share with you a little bit about the retreat I was on over the weekend. I went to Oregon, to Merlin, Oregon, and Grants Pass, Oregon, for a spiritual retreat. And I thought I would share some songs and poems with you, a good old-fashioned winter solstice anthology episode of The Erin Carrera Show with me, your host, Erin Carrera. Everybody, put your hand on your heart. Take a deep breath in. Let's settle in and let's be in our hearts and let's be in love together. Whatever's going on in our world, in our minds, in our bodies, in our souls, in this collective humanity, in this earth, in this collective, all of these universes and galaxies and totality, let us choose truth and love and light. And I don't necessarily mean positivity, I just mean love, love, love. Whatever love you have in your heart, you are love, you are born of love. I share my love with you. If you want to share your love, you can too. You can just keep it for yourself, you know? Which brings up our first song, You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch. I'm just kidding. That's not the first song. The first song is For the Solstice. I heard it this morning on Instagram when I was looking at my Instagram. It's one of my all-time favorite Christmas songs as well. A friend of mine posted some other singer. I don't know who it was. I think she's probably famous. She had a beautiful sort of Celtic arrangement with that sort of crystalline clear Irish voice and Irish accent, although the woman who wrote this was English. I'll just sing the first stanza because it's a religious song, and I don't mean for us to get religious per se. Maybe you know this song. In the bleak midwinter, frosty wind made moan. Earth stood hard as iron, water like a stone. Snow had fallen, snow on snow, snow on snow. In the bleak midwinter, long ago. I love this song so much. It's the poem is by Christina Rossetti. I know she has an Italian last name, but I believe she grew up in England. And it is so beautiful. To me, it is so beautiful. The setting is one of my favorite composers, Gustav Holst. And he was known for writing all of these beautiful, mournful plain songs, P-L-A-I-N, plain songs, and anthems. And, you know, some of you may know, I grew up singing in church three, four times a week, a good old-fashioned ELCA, Minnesota Lutheran Church. Oh, yeah. Where we, you know, sometimes people hear I grew up singing in church and they think that means something very conservative. No, we had a gay minister, a lady minister in the 80s. Yeah. We sometimes did clown service where everyone did clowning. I'm not kidding. We did country music service, but we also did a lot of the good old fashioned Lutheran Book of Worship services as well. After all, we were Minnesotans. It was a wonderful thing to grow up in. although I'm not religious, I'm spiritual still. The last stanza of this beautiful, it's called A Christmas Carol, is the name of the poem, but I always think of it as In the Bleak Midwinter. And even though today is our official first day of winter on the calendar, and although I hear that in Minnesota, last I talked with my mother about it, which was, I think, Monday, there wasn't yet snow per se. Anything can happen anytime in my hometown. And in a way, you almost think this song should be sung really in February, right? So I wanted to sing this to you, even though I haven't done any of my business top of show. Hi, I'm back. I'm back. Who knows what happened? I was just joking to Jay that the internet's got a, everyone's a critic, including my internet connection, apparently didn't like my singing. Anyhow, welcome back, guys. Hello, friends. Hi, everybody. How are you all? So happy to be back. And now we're gonna get back to talking about the solstice and all things solstice-y. Because for those of you who've been listening, as you know, the last few weeks we've been working on ending self-sabotage and really becoming aware of all these different aspects of ourselves that might get in the way of our dreams and manifestations, or even just our, even if you're like me, not necessarily so interested in manifestation any longer, but simply interested in something. I don't want to say deeper than manifestation. I don't mean it to sound like a judgment, just an alternative viewpoint, which is that there is something deeper and beautiful and present and another order of being, so to speak, available to us in this world, that it's really helpful to have awareness of the self through the observer, the all-seeing eye. Now, I am sort of shortcutting a bit of what we talked about these last few weeks, because today for the solstice, I thought it would be really important, especially as this is going to be the last episode of the Erin Carrera Show until 2024, for us to now, having had the context of doing some work on ourselves and taking a look at our lives and taking responsibility for ourselves, which, trust me, I know how much that's like, ugh, you know, when I want to yell at my husband and blame him for all my problems, when I think about, I'm on. All right. Yay, everybody. Apologies. I'm here. And you know, it's raining really heavily. So I'm wondering if that's messing with my internet or what's going on. But I'm going to forge on just like the pioneer that I am. I'm a pioneer of spirit, friends, pioneer of heart. So you all tell me, I'm gonna open, I'm not gonna mess with my computer. I am going to keep Facebook open on my phone so we can communicate that way. Friends, let's talk about the solstice. Let's talk about 2020. So the very first thing I would love for you all to do is I, in context, especially what we've been talking about, and thank you everybody who says you can hear me, Renee and Pamela, thank you so much. I truly appreciate you being in contact and supporting me when I'm like, wait, am I on? What's going on here? Oh. All right. Let's get to work here, friends. Let's take a look at 2023, huh? So I want us to begin by, especially if you do choose, for example, intentions. I'm not so sure about the New Year's resolutions. I mean, I make them, but they're usually the same resolutions I make every Sunday evening. For years, I chose a word of the year. This year, I don't think I did. But I want you to think about a year ago, what were the things that you were thinking of creating in your life, receiving, manifesting, or were you simply present to the joy and bliss of your life? I want you to think about, in context of what you hoped 2023 would bring. And it was a kind of high stakes, right? It was like we were all getting out of the COVID era. And I know that there's still stuff going on, but we were all, it was the end of 2022. It had been very intense. I recall that I'll share for me, last year at this time, I was in Italy already. I was there to help my mother-in-law, who had had some bad luck. She got the flu, then COVID, then a fall, right? And we were there to help. And I was basically just living my life, but, you know, in suburban, in the outskirts of Rome. which I'm not complaining about. It was really special. And I did some amazing things. I was so blessed. I got to go hear a Baroque music concert at my favorite art. It's an art museum. It's a villa where the people who own it still live there. Old royal family of Italy. But they've turned it into a public art museum, and they sometimes hold Baroque music concerts there. So I got to go hear all of this beautiful music, some of which was composed in the very room I was sitting in, that kind of special experience. And I remember that I wanted 2023 to be a year where I increased my work at One to Listen, where I would be able to help more people and be of service to more clients. One of my goals was to expand my clientele. One of my goals was to have more success in my creative career. And by that, I meant I wanted to book and work more as an actor and a singer. I wanted to sell a script. And I wanted to be creating projects that helped people learn about themselves or feel, or at least feel not alone. That's one of my goals with all of my work. And I wanted to deepen my relationship with d the divine. I wanted to paint my house and redecorate everything, get a new bedroom set. And I wanted to be a little more mindful. I wanted to try to figure out my chronic vertigo and my chronic cough. So I'm telling you all of this because these are the things I remember that I wanted to create. And of those things, I actually accomplished maybe, oh, three quarters of those, well, two thirds of those things. And I did take steps toward all of them. So, for example, I did expand my clientele at One to Listen. I actively advertised and I made some wonderful new clients. I got to know some wonderful new people at One to Listen. And I'm so grateful for the people who are my clients. And I love them all so much. I have the most amazing clients. Some people called me just once. And some people became regular clientele of mine. And I'm so grateful for all of them, all of you, if you happen to be listening. I did sell the scripts with Carlo. I didn't sell scripts for a ton of money per se, but I did sell scripts. And now we have one film that is going to go into production in February. And I started producing a feature that we have a third of the budget for. I did get to travel to support my film, Spy vs. Spia. I did book jobs as a singer. Of course, we went on strike as the actors, that part of my life. I'm a member of several unions. And we actors and we writers did go on strike for almost half the year. So, oh well. Of course, it was important, although we won't stop AI. Anybody who thinks we're going to stop AI has their head in the sand. That's not going to happen. We need to learn to work with AI. That's merely the fact of modern life. I don't like it. I mean, I do. I like using AI when I'm doing all those cool, like if you've seen any of you who are on Facebook, if you're friends with Chris Ann, she's got all those amazing AI portraits for Christmas. And I was like, what app are you using? And I'm going to go do it too. I'm going to copy her because they look so amazing. Like, I love that stuff. It's really cool. So there are ways that we can learn to work with it. And that's my point. Let's see. I did figure out my chronic vertigo, but not because of the doctors. The doctors I went to go see, they were like, it was as if they had no idea what I was talking about. I'm telling you, I went to so many doctors. Not all of them were terrible. I went to doctors who were like, yeah, unless you're in vertigo right now, we really can't help you. And I was like, yes, you could. You could get it. Give me an MRI and see at least if it's not Meniere's disease or neurological. But of course, I found out my insurance is really crappy. Oh, it doesn't want to cover those things unless it's like the last choice. Finally, I did go talk one doctor into starting some tests, and we started with a hearing test. Turns out I have perfect hearing. Really, the lady said, "Your hearing is perfect," which I found amazing because, I was in that rock band for so many years. I played so many loud clubs, but I am very, very annoying. Oh, my club, my bandmates were always annoyed with me. Like, I wouldn't drink that much. I don't smoke weed. I can't because it always makes me nauseated. It's never fun for me. I don't really do drugs. There's only a couple drugs I've ever tried that do have the opposite effect on me and therefore aren't terrible. And so I was also very protective always of my voice and my ears, always, partially because I got shingles in my ear when I was 17. Anyway, and so I went then to do this balance test. It's terrible. They induced vertigo. And I mean, I brought my anti-vertigo medication, anti-seasickness medication, but it was, and my anti-nausea pills, but it was absolutely horrendous. If any of you have ever had vertigo, it is vertigo and shingles are the two worst things I've ever gone through in all my life. And I'm telling you, I have rolled motorcycles and cars. I have chronic pain, chronic pain, and I'm being investigated to see if I have fibromyalgia or something else. I mean, it's like, but I'm telling you, shingles and vertigo are worse. At least so far, God. Anyhow, that was me knocking on wood to say, please. Anyhow, here I am. I'll take life. I'll take it. I'll take it, life. I mean, I'm not asking for it. I'm just saying, I'm here with you, life. Life be with me. But I overheard them. I overheard the doctors who were administering the balance test say, yes, her right ear is weak. I said, what was that? And they said, oh, your right ear's inner ear has a weakness, a vulnerability. I said, really? Is that just? And they said, yeah, that could be causing the vertigo. And I was like, oh, thank you for telling me. Because of course, they were just talking amongst themselves quietly in back, but with my perfect hearing, I could hear them, as I really do have great hearing. I can hear things far away. And what I lack in sight, because I have terrible vision, I make up for in smell and hearing, right? And maybe touch. Anyhow, and they were like, yeah, so you have that vulnerability. I said, oh, really? So what would cause that? Is that just aging or is it hormonal? And they said, or for example, a shock or a trauma, or if you've ever had a virus. I said, like shingles? They said, yes, for example. I said, well, I have had shingles in my inner ear when I was 17 and then again in my 30s. And they said, really? That must have been painful. I said, it was part of, I'm going to swear, guys, it was fuck, the most fucking painful thing I've ever gone through. And they were like, yeah, well, that could do it. So, although no doctor ever called me back to deliver any results, I then called my regular doctor and asked her if there was any way to help that. And indeed, at least we can do suppressive therapy to make sure I don't get any shingles because when I don't get enough sleep or I'm stressed, I get a little flare of the shingles because it's a virus that hangs out in your nerve pathway. Oh, which is why a lot of times if I don't sleep well or if I'm getting run down or if I'm very stressed, that right ear just starts to get that phantom shingles pain, only it's not phantom. It's actually the beginning of an eruption, right? Because that virus just lays in wait and then attacks. So I got to figure out my vertigo. I'm sharing this all with you so that if any of you have ever gone through something like that, I know how frustrating it is to have some kind of condition that isn't easily solvable, how difficult and frustrating it is, despite doctors' best efforts, to find a doctor who understands what you're going through and who can really truly help you, especially if you, like me, have crappy insurance. So I did figure that one out. On the chronic cough front, man, I've tried the diet twice. It's never done anything other than trigger some eating issues. So I've tried all these different medications. But until I get good insurance or, become an Italian citizen and spend a month there figuring it out, basically, I guess I might not find out about my chronic cough, which is very frustrating, but I am taking steps toward it. Let's see. I did not paint my house. Do you know I have these, you can go to the store and get those samples of the color palettes. I have had these stupid color palettes hanging up in all the different rooms of my house for months. And I look at them every day because there's one sitting right next to my bed. I wake up and I go, I really don't know what color would be right. But I haven't gotten there yet. I just, it's just not really apparently as high on the priority list. So what were the things that you wanted to do in 2023? And I want you to take a look at what you accomplished. First of all, what went right? What did you accomplish? What did you receive? What miracles happened? What wins happened? What wonderful surprises came your way? For example, I'll tell you a personal one. I made up with a long lost friend. It was so special to me. It was so special to me. Trying to think of any other surprises, wonderful surprises that I would never have seen coming. Well, not yet, but the year's not over. I mean, I was blessed, so blessed this year with good friends and healthy family overall, and only a little bit of drama. I don't like drama. I'm a recovered drama queen, so I get it. And when you are a drama queen, you think the world is happening to you instead of recognizing that it's you reacting and often creating craziness. In fact, this morning I did catch myself creating a little drama. I'm not saying I'm totally recovered, still in there. Let's face it, I am me. I'm a Pisces, for goodness sake, my God. You know, other famous Pisces, right? Drama, we're talking, oh gosh. Nina Simone, Liz Taylor, right? Quintessential Pisces right there, Liz Taylor and Nina Simone. Anyhow, so here we are. I want you to take a look at the wonderful things that happened. And then I want you to take a look at the things that you wanted to create and didn't. Like, for example, me not painting the house. Oh, my house is currently kind of it's not a disaster, it's a clean disaster. But it is, we have way too much stuff right now. And we have not painted in years. And my house needs help. It does. It just needs help. And I'm telling you, I know it, but it is not a priority. I had all these plans to paint while my husband's out of town. He's out of town right now. I had all these plans to paint while he was away. And the day he left, I was like, yeah, I'm not going to paint. It's just not a priority. It's just not. Not compared to my work at One to Listen, not compared to my podcast that I do as Joan Delafleur, the ghost of a 1940s movie star, not compared to playing piano and writing new songs, not compared to finally addressing my holiday cards late last night while watching Elf. staying up late for no purpose other than I guess I should do these Christmas cards at least before Christmas, maybe. Maybe. Chances of them arriving before Christmas, slim. But you know, in Europe, Christmas doesn't end until the Epiphany, so I'm counting. And besides, they're holiday cards. They're holiday cards, and even though it does say holiday 2023 and not New Year 2024, which was an sort of an oversight on my part, it counts. Anyhow. I want you to think about the things that you didn't create or manifest or receive. And I just want you to first ask yourself, really deeply, hand on heart, in your body, how do you feel about that? And I ask that because a lot of times we go to our minds like, oh, well, I should have painted. I should have painted. My house is a pigsty. I don't have people over because it's so gross right now. Well, that's not true. I had my sister over for Thanksgiving. And it's clean. It's just, you know, packed. We're not hoarders, almost, right? We're not there yet, but only because my inner Scorpio rising is like, we got to get rid of some of these things. You know, my husband will save the most insane things. He saves boxes and bubble wrap from Amazon. And I'm like, why? He's like, so that in case I have to go on a trip, I can bubble wrap the precious items. I'm like, Carlo, no. So sometimes I do throw those things away. But, you know, I'm not saying that he's the only guilty party in this house. I mean, in my little studio alone, I have three keyboards and three guitars. Like, why do I need, and plus three lights? And hey, at least I'm coming in threes. You know, coming in the magic number. Why do I need three keyboards? I don't know. I just have them. Why do I have three guitars? Because I haven't yet sold the one I never play. Why? You know, it's like, well, I just haven't gotten there yet again because it's not a priority. So I go to my mind, I'm like, well, I really should do that. But I go to my body, and my body's like, I'm fine. My house is clean. It's just full of stuff, but it's clean. It's fine. And I'm not, I'm an artist. I'm a psychic. I'm busy with my work. I don't have time to be perfect with my perfect house. I barely have time to make sure I get my exercise in, even though that is something I know I need to do for my mental health and my physical health too, but my mental health, right? So when I go to my body, I'm like, you know what? Painting, the truth is, no, I don't care. If I had extra income set aside right now for something other than producing a movie or traveling to see my family, maybe then I would either paint the house or eventually Carlo and I want to move. Maybe it's more for saving money for when we get a new place so that I have money set aside to, decorate and clean and get a new bedroom set for the new place, which might not be for a few years, but I think that's probably the wiser plan for me. Do you see where we're going with this? So let's say that your goals, oh, I should check in on the chat room and see what your goals were for the 2023, because I feel like if your goal was to get into a new relationship and you didn't, and there's a part of you that feels lonely, well, then that is something that we can take a look at. Was there a way that you sabotaged yourself? Was there a way that simply wasn't timing? Don't be hard on yourself. This is not for you to judge, right? Like, I don't want us to judge that, for example. I don't want us to judge, like, oh, well, I self-sabotaged me getting into a relationship, so now I'm a terrible person, and now I'm going to obsess over that, right? That's the opposite of what I'm talking about. I'm talking about with an open, curious mind. Was I getting in my own way? Was it a combination of maybe that person that I was dating was close, and maybe they weren't really right, but now I'm lonely? So I'm looking back on it like, well, maybe it could have been them. Maybe I should text them, but I don't, they're right. It's like you have to get very honest with yourself. I've done that. I've certainly, that would be my entire 20s, right? Being in relationships with people that, yeah, I loved them, but they weren't really right for me. And I was just either afraid of being alone or afraid of letting them down or afraid of saying no, usually afraid of letting people down. But then I'm in essence lying to them, right? I was lying to these boyfriends that I was staying with because I didn't want to let them down. Like what? Like I'm their higher power? No. I was lying to them then because I didn't truly want to marry them or be with them or love them at that level. And I was therefore false to them. But I understand, that mechanism. I just want us to take a look because what we're going to do now is we're going to think about what we want to create in 2024. Right? Yes, it's the solstice. It's a time for letting go of the things that didn't serve us, letting go of what didn't, what isn't in our best interests. And it's a time to just start not planting seeds, just dreaming. Taking plenty of time to dream into the new year. We don't have to hit January 1st, hit the ground running. No, none of that. We're going to slowly slow dance our way in, right? Let it be a slow dance. Let it be sensual. Let it be full of love and joy. Let the feelings come to you and then come through you and then leave. Let the realizations turn to wisdom. So when you look back on 2023, what were your wins and what were your lessons? What were your lessons? Some of my lessons in 2023 were definitely about catching myself in reactive mode. And I have to admit that often I triggered myself into a reaction because I wanted a certain feeling, right? Like, so for example, I was talking to a friend, I triggered a certain poor me victim sadness. I triggered the sadness. And as I was triggering the sadness, I saw it. God damn it, I saw it. I say it like that because it was like, no, I want to be able to be the victim in the situation I was talking about because that's not my fault. Nope. I watched it. I saw it. I saw myself trigger the sadness. And I'm sad thinking about it now. It's not that I don't have the feelings, but guess what? I was triggering sadness about a situation I'm going through where I am not being brave and asking for needs to be met because I'm too scared. No. Oh no, now that I know it, now it's incumbent upon me as a grown up, because I am a grown up. I'm a grown woman, y'all. I'm an adult. I really am. So I don't have to, but I wish to accept responsibility for my life. So I get to speak my needs. And the people that I need to speak them to might say no. They might say, I cannot fulfill that request. And then I get to figure out how to fulfill my own needs, which is cool. I fulfill my own needs a lot in life. That's fine. Or some needs might go unmet. Like there's this discussion in the chat room about vertigo and such, right? One person is saying that physical therapy has really been helping them. Do you know, I tried the physical therapy. It didn't help me because the problem was not the usual problem with vertigo. It wasn't crystals in my ear getting out of place. It's some other neurological problem. So it's because the neurological problem that gets triggered by the other neurological problem. And shingles is terrible, somebody says. Denise says shingles are awful. So I'm sorry that any of you have experienced shingles or vertigo. I hate it all. But there are solutions for both, thank goodness. Anyhow, things I learned this year, right? So we went over our wins, we went over our miracles, we went over our losses, we went over our lessons and our wisdom. I learned that I'm not out of the woods on the drama, and I learned that I find it much more beautiful to accept responsibility for my life, even though it does include feeling all of these feelings. I actually really enjoy feeling all the feelings. My problem is maybe I enjoy feeling certain feelings too much. You know what I mean? Hence the drama. And now, just starting to dream a little bit. Let's dream a little bit into 2024 without being overly precious about it. I say it that way because so often we make a vision board or a list of things that we want to manifest, and I feel like it gets out of control, right? Like I am the poster child for this. Suddenly I've got a list of 72 things. Ridiculous. And I act like I'm supposed to do it all instead of no, these are just simply things to be created, perhaps in 2024. So I want you to think about, yeah, you can think about the things, right? So, for example, I got a new car in 2023, but it wasn't on my list. It's just that I couldn't extend my lease anymore. So now I pay 30% more for my new car, which I do love and which has already gotten dinged up. Not because of me. I have been taking such care on my lease with my car, but because I've got a crazy neighbor, God bless her, who's a terrible driver. And because of the homeless man using my car in weird ways, and because somebody, I parked on the street, it's Los Angeles. I parked on the street, I came out, somebody had scratched the front of my car, probably dinged it backing out, you know, looking at their phone instead of their camera or something. I don't know. Such is life. Anyhow, right? So there were some fun things that are also not fun, right? You know, such is life. But what are things you would like to dream into 2024? And more than thinking of the things, oh, I want a partner. Oh, I want to raise at work. Oh, I want to go on a trip to Tahiti. I want you to think more about, yes, you can think about things. I want you to think more about the feelings you want to have and the kind of person you want to become. Like one of my goals for 2023 was to deepen my relationship with the divine. And I wrote that down And it was almost like something I wrote down without thinking about, right? Like it wasn't like, oh, I want to sell a script. I want to expand my clientele. I want to listen. I want to, right? I want to be beautiful. That was something I wrote down. I wanted to feel beautiful. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Actually, when I was in college, I wrote a paper about this. Beauty is actually, to me, beauty is not a thing. It is an event. It is when an observer and a moment meet in such a way that beauty transpires. So, for example, if you have gone to the orchestra and they're playing one of your favorite pieces, like for me, I love The Four Seasons by Vivaldi and I love autumn. And when I hear autumn, something in my, I mean, just thinking about it can bring me to tears, right? Just something in my heart just starts to stir and I feel alive and it's so beautiful to me. It's an event that transpires. Anyhow, so I want you to think about what you want to dream into 2024, but also who you wish to be, what you wish to embody. So, for example, last year I wrote down that I wanted to develop my relationship with the divine. And I'd already been listening to a few specific spiritual teachers and reading a very few specific writers and poets. I was being really specific about it. Well, that's not true. Sometimes I was Googling and looking for random things, but there was a vibe I needed. I needed something mystical. Deep and mystical. Oh, the rain just got heavier the minute I said that. I love that. I don't know if you can hear the rain outside, but the rain just started coming down in a heavier sheet. I wanted something not simple. Well, simple perhaps, but I wanted something profound and mystical. And I didn't really even think about it. It's just that there was an alignment or there wasn't. And I feel that I got quieter. The gift that I got wasn't necessarily that the divine grabbed me by the shoulders and shook me like it has in years past. What happened is that the divine whispered to me, and I was so lucky enough to hear a sense of the whisper. And then I began to seek out every barrier to my ability to hear the divine. I began to ask the divine to remove all of the lies and false narratives that got in the way of me seeing, hearing, and speaking the truth. I began to pray for that. And of course, it's not always easy. Like I said, I want to be the victim sometimes. I want to blame my husband for things. I want to blame politics. I want to blame the darkness of humanity for things. I want to blame. But I really don't, actually. Instead, I want to accept reality and then I want to listen more deeply. How beautiful then that my life's works are all about listening. I literally work for a website called 1-2-listen.com. And as I listen to my clients and I just hear the children of God sharing things and looking for guidance, and I ask God to speak through, I ask the divine to speak through me, I ask to see through the eyes of the divine, I ask to hear through the ears of the divine. And I'm so lucky that sometimes maybe a little of that seeps in. And then, of course, my other life's work as a musician, every day I play a little piano. Right now I'm working on a Mozart sonata. And it's all, you have to listen, right? You listen. It's different playing piano than singing. You're listening when you're singing too. You want to be careful not to listen to yourself in such a way that you're monitoring yourself. It's interesting. It's very interesting to think about listening deeply and hearing versus listening is micromanaging, right? Listening with filters that control, because it isn't about controlling. To me, it's about removing the barriers to love, removing the barriers to the divine. Now, this is not how I planned it. When I wrote that down, I think I was just sort of like writing it down because it just came through me. And I feel like that was the divine That was the divine's method of grabbing me by the shoulders. Like, I just wrote it down. And then because I wrote it down, a lot of times the things I write down do transpire, right? So I do feel like sometimes are we manifesting or are we intuiting? And there's a concert of co-creation that it can occur. So I want you to think about who you want to be in 2024. And, I told you all that I wanted to feel beautiful, right? And that might sound silly to some of you, but I don't care. I wanted to feel beautiful. And sometimes I did. A lot of times I didn't. But I really don't mean beautiful, like looking like no judgment if somebody goes and gets plastic surgery to get Instagram face. I totally understand the impulse. I totally understand. But I mean, I wanted to feel what I realized is that I wanted deeper than beauty. I wanted to appreciate beauty in the world. I wanted to look with the eyes of looking for what was beautiful in others. I wanted to look at the world with love. And I feel that I came to that realization. And that the secret little impulse underneath wanting to be beautiful or wanting to feel beautiful was more about wanting to renew my spirit of care for the world despite the difficulties of the world, despite the difficulties of life, despite how hard life can be, despite what we see going on in different parts of the world, despite the way that tragedies in other parts of the world sow division. In other parts of the world, right? I'm speaking of Israel and Gaza, I'm speaking of Ukraine, I'm speaking of a lot of things that I wished to be in love, not fall in love, not fall into limerence with the world, not be charmed by the world, but to deeply love. Now that's me, right? That's not everybody. So some people are like, Aaron, screw that. I want more money. I want to fly first class. I want a new Mercedes or whatever. I mean, that's the car I like, but I want to get M sculpting and look snatched. And if that's what you want, great. I want those things too. I mean, that sounds fun. I ask you, not just because it's helpful to look deeper, but because it's actually helpful to manifest, right? We've been talking about self-sabotage. So I ask you, what will all of that give you? What feeling will that give you? Like, I'm like, oh, let me put myself in this mindset, man. I want to make a lot of money. I want to fly first class. I want a new Mercedes because I bought it by choice, not because I had to. I want to look snatched. And I'm going to throw in great hair. Okay. What will that feeling give me? What is it that I'm looking for out of all that? Pleasure. To feel safe, maybe, right? To feel love, connected, wanted, desired. Oh, I get that. I love flirting, like I love the feeling of feeling wanted. Over the weekend, I was at the spiritual retreat, but on my way there, I stopped at a restaurant and the cutest waiter flirted with me so hard, and he was probably 10 years younger than me. And then he gave me his number. I felt bad when he gave me his number because I was like, did you not see the ring on my finger? And he was like, hey, if you want to hang out this weekend, I'd really love to. And I was like, oh, I'm going to be at this retreat all weekend, and I don't know how intense it is. And he looked a little crestfallen, but I also was about to be like, and I'm married. But I didn't want to not flirt. Oh my gosh, is that bad? Is that bad? Oh my God, I loved it. I was like, yes, flirt with me, cute young man. I love it. And at first I was like, oh my God, I'm 10 years older than you, or maybe even more. Who knows? I have no idea how old this guy was. And I was just like, having fun flirting just for the fun of it. I like that, right? Who doesn't like that? It makes you feel, it stirs up your creative, literally stirs up your creative energy. Right? It turns you on. Who doesn't want to feel turned on? That's what I definitely was enjoying. So I just ask you, like, if that, whatever you want, What will that make you feel? And can you already begin to arouse that feeling in self? Who would you need to be? What would you need to think? What would you need to believe about yourself to know that you can afford to fly first class, when, right? To make that kind of money? What would you need to believe about yourself and the world and abundance? What would you want to practice thinking? If you put yourself in that frame of reference daily, then it almost won't matter if you go get snatched with M Sculpting, or if you decide to buy a Mercedes, or just stick with your good old Ford Escape that you have, because it's fine, and it's pretty, it's a nice color, or whatever, or whatever, right? It's like, it's not that you can't do those things, but what's underneath that desire, and can you give yourself that experience of life already? I'm telling you, it makes manifesting a lot easier. And more importantly, you might discover, actually, I don't really even care about first class. Although, yes, it's fun, it's nice, whatever, it's helpful. What I really want is to remove travel anxiety. Like for me, I have serious travel anxiety, not anxiety about danger, anxiety about missing a plane, missing a flight, being late. That's my anxiety. So a lot of times I just pay the little, board early fee. And I get places early because that's how I deal with my anxiety, right? It's not so much about flying first class. I don't care about that. I care about not being late and not missing flights. And on my flight home Sunday night, let me tell you, our flight was delayed, and then I got vertigo on the plane. Thank God for my medication, because we hit a terrible turbulence, right? So for me, it wasn't so much about needing to fly in a certain position. It was about allowing my body a certain amount of breathing room. Anyway, we are actually coming to the end of the episode, friends. And I really meant to do so much more on dreaming into the new year. I will be available on One to Listen most of this week. If you don't see me, it's because I'm running to the post office to send off some Christmas packages. And also, I am leaving December 27th. I will be flying in the evening. I will be flying to Europe to go spend a couple weeks with my family there. I will be working. It will be a working trip. It's just that I will have limited hours, or I'll have same hours, but 9 hours ahead of my normal hours. So if you want to come talk with me, I would love to. I will be available for you at onetolisten.com/Erin. And I'm going to close out by reciting a poem I learned in third grade, and I still remember. It is called Stopping by Woods on a Snowy Evening, and I can't think of a better solstice poem than this little Robert Frost ditty that I learned all those many years ago. Whose woods these are, I think I know. His house is in the village, though. He will not see me stopping here to watch his woods fill up with snow. My little horse must think it queer to stop without a farmhouse near. Between the woods and frozen lake, the darkest evening of the year. He gives his harness bells a shake to ask if there's some mistake. The only other sounds the sweep of easy wind and downy flake. The woods are lovely, dark and deep, but I have promises to keep, and miles to go before I sleep, and miles to go before I sleep. Thank you, everybody, for a wonderful 2023 here on One Two Radio. Thank you to Jay for being such an amazing producer and supporter and friend and person and psychic. Thank you to all my fellows at One Two Listen and One Two Radio. Thank you to all of you who are listening. Thank you to all my clients. I love you all so deeply. And coming up next, as always, is Oliver. Oliver. Until next year, I love you. Happy holidays.